Hello and welcome, beautiful souls. On this podcast, I talk about the spiritual, the mystical, the psychological, the new earth, ghosts, aliens, and so much more. Sometimes interviewing fascinating guests, and other times it's just me talking about the wonders of life. Welcome to Dreamscape. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to Dreamscape. In today's podcast, I'm going to interview Nina Medicina, who does cacao ceremonies. I Googled for cacao the other day, thinking I could maybe buy some or go to a ceremony. And I stumbled across her blog. I got very interested and bought some cacao and also asked if I could interview her. Now she's done quite a lot of, she does sound healing and breath work as well, breath work like I do. And so I was very thrilled to come across her. Like I hadn't heard of her before, but she sounds like an amazing person. So I'm very, very excited to be doing this interview. So if you're interested in what cacao ceremony is, then it is plant medicine, but it's not psychedelic. At least I don't see it as such. I don't know. Well, hear what she has to say. I'm really excited about it. So yeah, without further ado, we'll get on to it. I'll see you next time. Welcome, Nina Medicina, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited.
I'm guessing that, what's your actual name? I was thinking about that when I was...
Yeah, so my real name is Nina, but yeah. My last name is Viger. It's a Norwegian last name, so I'm half Norwegian. And my middle names are Magdalena, which I really like, and Ulrika.
But I like Nina Medicina.
Yeah, me too. So it actually came to me, a few years back when I was living in LA and I was doing all of this, finding my path again, finding my medicines. And I was so into breathwork and sound healing and herbalism and all of these things. And I called them medicines. And then, I don't know, it just came to me. I was like, I'm Nina Medicina. Or maybe someone told me, like, Nina Medicina.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Yeah, that's me. It really resonates.
Yeah, I love that name. It kind of is straight to the point. Like, yeah, when I Googled you, well, I didn't Google you. I actually Googled cacao ceremonies the other day, in fact. And I stumbled across you, luckily enough, because I was like, oh, who is this? And I was like so excited to see that, you know, who you are. And you just, I went onto your website and it just seemed like you do beautiful things. And so that was very interesting. And then obviously I emailed you and you were just seemed like such a lovely person. I was like, yeah, I have to interview this person.
I'm so super excited that you found me.
Yeah,
it's hard to reach out. It's hard to get out there.
Yeah, it is sometimes. Yes, but I'd like you if you could just first tell us a little bit about your background and like what led you into the world of cacao and like plant medicines or medicines, like herbals and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long story and it's been a long, long life, but I come from a fashion background and I have been in fashion since I was like 20. And I worked this really fast paced lifestyle with so much fun, so much party, so much travel, so much work, so much of everything. And that career led me to Shanghai, where I was working for 5 years. And I really enjoyed that city at the time, but I was traveling somewhere every week. I was always on an airport and I was traveling all over the world doing research and then presenting the trends to different suppliers all over Asia. And I was at the same time also partying a lot. And I was just, I had my first like crash. I had a panic attack on the street of Shanghai. And if you've ever been there, if you live there, you know that no one really stops for you there.
All right.
So it was a near death experience that I was having. And I came home, I made it up and I biked home and I was like, wait, I need help. This life is not serving me anymore. And luckily I was guided to a Swedish psychologist there. And the first few sessions we were just sitting down and we were breathing and I had to touch different things. He's like, just touch your pants and like breathe. And he guided me through this breath work. And he's like, you're not getting out of here until your anxiety level is halved. And it took me a few sessions. I was just crying. But I realized when I finally calmed down my nervous system that, like, wow, breath, I can heal myself with my breath. I can calm myself with my breath. And I can do it anywhere. He was like, go into the bathroom of your workplace if it's too much, if you get overwhelmed. And that's when I got connected with breath work. So that was like the first part. And then I moved back to Sweden, and my mom was also sick in cancer. So that was also a lot like stressful for my nervous system, because my grandma also had breast cancer, and then my mom got it. So I was like, wait, I'm next in line if I don't change anything in my life. So that led me on the path of like eating super healthy, cutting away all the toxins, cutting away birth control that I've been on my entire life, basically. And I just realized, like, wow, there's so much toxins everywhere and we don't even know about it. Like, even if I think that I'm eating healthy, I'm not. Also living in Shanghai, which was like a super polluted city. Just like going outside.
just breathing there.
Yeah, it's just stressful. So anyway, long story short, I was in Sweden for a few years, and then I just felt this like calling. I was like, I have to go to LA. And I'd felt that calling already living in Shanghai. And I was like, why can't I just be present and happy? Now I have everything that I wanted to have. Can I just be happy? But I was like, no, I need to get to LA. And I didn't know why, but I just felt this calling. And I was going to a medium, because I was so disappointed. I was like, why can't I not get there? I'm just getting failure after failure, like denied visa. I got a job and then that didn't happen. It was just so many failures. And I was like, is it not meant for me to go there? And she's like, you're going to go there, but just like not the way you think and not when you think. But you can relax in Sweden, be here. You're here to like just calm down.
Yeah.
So, 2.5 years in Sweden, and it was really good for me. And then all of a sudden, the perfect opportunity came up, and it was just really meant to be. And I moved to LA, and then I thought, oh, my life is perfect now. Then it was chaos at work. It was still in fashion, and it was just crazy. It was like it was a Swedish company, but we were like starting up a new concept. So everyone was really stressed and overworked. And yeah, it was a lot of things going on. So I was like, wait, I'm not happy again. I'm so stressed. And da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And that led me to searching again for healing. And I found breathwork. I found sound healing. And I found this amazing group of people who had a lot of different ceremonies going on, plant medicine ceremonies. And that was one of my first cacao ceremonies. And that's when I was like, wow. It just resonated so much with my heart. It was around the fire. It was a Mexican medicine man who was there, and most of it was in Spanish. So I didn't really get that much, but it was the songs, it was the feeling, it was like the warmth and the heart opening effect. And then this woman was like, we're selling cacao. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this block. The reaction I get from most people when I bring the blocks, they're like, what am I going to do with this? It's like, drink it. And I think I shared that I had a lot of hormonal problems after I stopped birth control. So I was struggling with that for 5 years and nothing worked. And she's like, drink this. It's really good for your hormones as well. So I started to drink it every day. And I can explain how I prepare a cup as well, because it's not as overwhelming as it may seem. But I started to drink it. And within one cycle, my hormonal problems just like went away. My moon time regulated. My hormonal acne disappeared. I wasn't fainting from pain. It was like a normal amount of blood. It was just amazing. I was like, wait, what? I've been struggling for 5 years. And cacao was the medicine. I was staying away from cacao or chocolate because I thought it was bad for me.
Oh, but I know so many. I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but I know so many people who suffer from this, including myself. So so that sounds amazing. Unbelievable.
It's really good for hormonal health. And because also pure cacao, raw cacao, and it's like when it's not processed, and I can explain about the process, what's the difference between ceremonial cacao and normal cacao as well, but all the fats are still there. Well, if you get cacao powder or chocolate in the store, the cacao fat has been separated. So basically your body's can't absorb the nutrients of the cacao. And normally cacao powder is also very processed and overheated. So the nutrients goes away. But if you drink it or eat it in its raw form, it's amazing for your body and your hormonal system. And we need the fats. And so many people cut away the fats because they think it's not good for you, but that's going to ruin your hormones as well. So yeah, it healed my hormones. In a week's time, I wasn't even like feeling for drinking coffee. And I didn't really like coffee. I love the first coffee in the morning, but I didn't like what it was doing to me. But I felt I needed it for the energy. But I was like, I have so much fire in my system anyway. You notice I talk really fast and I'm just like all over the place all the time. And I'm super excited about life and everything. But coffee got me overheated. Mm-hmm. You know, I had all of these heat needed to come out of my body. So I had like stress takes. I got herpes. I got all of these things, which was my body's way of like, cool down, take it easy, breathe. And I was like, ah. So... yeah. After drinking cacao for just a short time, I was like, wait, I don't even like coffee. Mm-hmm. And I drank cacao, and what cacao does is it oxygenates your blood, so you get natural energy. You feel uplifted, euphoric, and happy and energetic, but it doesn't work on your nervous system like caffeine does. Mm-hmm. So you get like natural energy, whilst, you know, caffeine is like spike and then you crash.
Yeah, it kind of just stresses
our
nervous system, really. Yeah. So,
and then again, coffee is not bad for some people. And if you drink one cup a day, it has antioxidants, it can be really good for you. I don't want to say coffee is bad, but it was not good for me at that time. Yeah. So that was like my way into cacao. It wasn't even about the spiritual effects at first. It was just like, wow, I feel so good. Yeah. And then I started to drink it every morning. And like, instead of rushing to my coffee maker, I made a cup. I sat down, I put my intention. I started to write something in my journal, and I saw a shift in like a few weeks, a few months. And I could really like feel my heart. Mm. I could feel that I wanted to do nicer things to myself, speak nicer to myself. I called in more self-love. And I started to do things that was really nourishing for me and not doing so much of what other people expected me to be or who I thought other people wanted me to be. It was like great for setting boundaries and just, honoring myself and my body and like talking nicer to myself, which when I do that, I also become a nicer person to people around me, you know. So, I would say it was more the physical effects at first, or like what happened in my body. And then it was like my spirit.
And how do you like, can you explain like when you did take it like the first time or the first times, like when it was like maybe a little bit more like a proper ceremony, like what would you say are like the effects, like spiritually, how did you feel? I know that I've read somewhere or I read in a Yoga Girl book or something when she did the cacao, and it sounded incredibly spiritual what she went through. But can you explain one of the more sort of profound moments you had like taking it? Or
yes, I can't remember just one particular moment, but sitting in a traditional ceremony. And I also want to say there's nothing really called a cacao ceremony in the ancient Mayan or Aztec tradition where cacao comes from, but they use it as an element in their own fire ceremony where they call in their own gods. Or it's also a drink for fertility. So maybe if you want a good harvest, you offer cacao to the earth. And maybe if someone is born or someone died or someone is getting married, like cacao is a part of that. But it's not like the Western cacao ceremony. It's like I facilitate myself with breathwork and ecstatic dance and sound healing. So anyway, I've been to a lot of traditional cacao ceremonies where you sit around the fire and you're calling in the different gods, and it's a lot of meditations. And I just felt in one of them, and I can't remember exactly which one it was, but it was like nature, like I am nature and I have to be nature. And I just felt it's like, I always thought I wanted to live in LA, and I was there, and all of a sudden I was like, wait, no, I have to go back to my home country and I need to share this. This is like, it's such a medicine for me, and it's done so much. And I got this vision of like me sharing cacao, and like our country needs this. Our country needs to take more decisions based on the heart and not so much of the mind. Like we're such a in the Western world, we take so many decisions from the overthinking mind and so many decisions based on fear.
Yes.
And not based on like, what does my heart want? So it was like, my heart wants to go back to Sweden. I want to live in the forest. Mm-hmm. And I want to share this medicine that's not like native to where I come from, but my people will really benefit from this, to open up our hearts and be a softer like species. But yeah, that was like,
I agree. Yeah. I mean,
one of the biggest insights. Yeah.
For those of you listening, if you're not like, well, we're situated in Sweden, so we both live in Sweden. but I agree with you completely. Not that there's anything like wrong with Swedes. Obviously, we love our people, but we are, yeah. That's something that I've also felt since childhood, that maybe Sweden and the Western world, perhaps, but like that we do need to open up our hearts more. Definitely. And if this sounds like such a delicious way to go, I have to say.
It's an easy way. You don't have to do
easy
much.
Easy and delicious. It's like, what's the, like, just to get,
There is no catch.
Yeah, I definitely feel very drawn to this at the moment. I cannot wait to get, like, I've bought some cacao from you, but it hasn't arrived yet, and I was wanting to drink it this morning together with you. But could you maybe explain how you make your delicious cacao drink?
Yes. Mm. Maybe I should go get a block or both.
Yeah,
this is, oh yeah, you can't see it, I'm gonna spill it over my computer. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, okay. I'll just drink my tea. I have tea instead. Although I really, really wanted cacao, but it'll come today. I swear to it. It will come today. And I can't wait to make it. So.
Okay. I'm back.
Okay.
So this is my brand, Wild Cacao, but this is what the cacao looks like in its pure form. So it comes as a block, and you can see the white spots. That's the cacao fat, which is so amazing for you.
Yeah.
So how I do it is that I normally, when I get this block, I chop off a piece, or maybe I chop the entire block and I just keep it in my fridge. But you can just chop off one piece. So it's like 20 grams, and I never measure, but I do it witchy style, but like 2 tablespoons. Mm. So the traditional way of doing it is just drinking cacao with water and maybe some chili, maybe some local sweetener or like local sugar. Mm-hmm. It's not as delicious as the way I make it, I think, but it's the traditional way. And you do it over a stove and you just stir it, and it's very thick and bitter. Mm-hmm. And so with one of my teachers in Guatemala, she asked in a ceremony, because you drink this thick liquid and you can see people's faces are like, oh, this is not the chocolate I'm used to. And she's like, who here has been drinking ayahuasca or sitting in an ayahuasca ceremony? And everyone is like, yeah. She's like, do you put honey in your ayahuasca? She's like, this is medicine and it's going to taste like medicine. Like, that was her way.
Uh-huh.
And for me, I agree. Yes, that's beautiful. And I love that ceremony. But if I drink it every day, I want it to also feel like medicine to my heart, like to have something sweet. But I love, like I said, like non-toxic. I don't eat sugar, but I do love natural things. So I normally put in 1 or 2 dates.
Mm.
Or some local raw honey is also great. So I take 2 tablespoons, 20 grams, into some hot water that I boiled. But it shouldn't be on boiling point when you mix them, because that can kill some of the nutrients. So just really hot water. And I actually put it on my blender because I want to blend the dates. So I put in the cacao, the water, the dates. And then a pinch of Himalayan sea salt is amazing, because that brings out the flavor of the cacao.
Yeah.
And then some days, if I'm not feeling overheated, I take in a pinch of cayenne, because that opens up our capillaries so we can absorb the cacao faster. Mm-hmm. And it's also really delicious. But if I drink cayenne too much, I get overheated. So I don't do, maybe once a week. And then like, sky's the limit. So I don't like to set rules. I don't like rules in that sense. So I'm like, go wild, put in adaptogens. I love chaga that I can harvest out here in the forest around me, or reishi mushroom, or shatavari is one of my favorite herbs from the Ayurvedic tradition, which is great for hormonal health as well. And it's really good for sexual and creative energy, like softens our tissues, and it's just great for that. So I normally put in some sort of like adaptogen or superfood maca. I really like with cacao as well. But that's like, you don't have to. That scares some people away when they're like, what did you say?
I'm just happy I'm recording this so I can listen back. So I'm like, oh my God, I need to write this down. Like, I love this.
I can write it down too. And then sometimes I make an herbal infusion. So let's say it's summer, like it's starting to be hotter here now. I make a peppermint tea, and I use that tea instead of the water. And that's like a peppermint chocolate cacao.
That sounds really good. I'm actually drinking peppermint right now.
Peppermint is, it's a beautiful combination.
It sounds really delicious. I'm thinking maybe I can, because my son is like 20 and he's not really into healthy stuff, but sometimes I can look like, I'll trick him, you know. If and it's delicious, it's delicious. So
he's not gonna know. Just put in some extra dates. And some people do like to blend it with vegan milk, and that's also a very good way in for people who find blending it with water makes it too harsh.
Okay,
so coconut milk, I mean, it's just like a healthy
I can't wait to make this drink. I'm like, please come today.
It's really medicine for like the body, mind, and spirit. It's so life-changing in so many ways. Not only is it beautiful to start the morning and set an intention and calling self-love and calling gratitude, and then to drink something that's like so healthy. It's like nature's most potent superfood. It has more antioxidants than blueberry and acai, which is a trendy superfood. And I didn't think about that when I think about cacao, that that would be high in antioxidants. But you also ferment the beans. So the cacao is a fruit, and you open it and it has like 40 cacao beans that's covered in white pulp. And that it's the pulp that has the high antioxidants. And you ferment the beans together with the pulp. So if something is fermented, you know, it's also good for the gut health. And the gut is our second brain. So if we have a healthy gut, we feel normally happy in our mind as well. And the opposite, if we have a leaky gut or have infections in our gut or have a sluggish metabolism, normally we feel tired and anxious and sluggish in our mind as well. So gut health is like number one for.
Oh yeah. I've had some problems with my guts. Yeah. Like you are really selling this. I could not be more excited about trying this. But what was I thinking? Have you tried other plant medicines as well? Have you like been sort of just trying out different, like you mentioned ayahuasca before, have you tried that as well?
I have, and it's been really life-changing for me. That's kind of like, I did that in the beginning of my healing journey. And I think that was like the catapult or whatever you say, like that's, some people say that like doing one ceremony is like going to therapy for 10 years. I don't know, but yes, like so much shifted. And I would say the biggest thing that happened in my first ceremony was that nothing happened in the ceremony. And I was so disappointed because people were like, oh, I was like in the different dimension with mama ayahuasca. I was like, wait, what? I was like very much there and nothing happened. And I was like, I had maybe high expectations. Maybe I didn't relax enough. I don't know. But what happened was that afterwards, things started to shift. All of a sudden, I wasn't feeling like drinking alcohol anymore. All of a sudden, I was only feeling like putting super healthy things in my body, and everything else made me nauseous. And that was a huge shift. So all of a sudden, I couldn't go out and party because my body just like screamed no. And that was crazy. So some people get those reactions. And the shaman that I talked to her afterwards, and I was like, wait, why is this happening? She's like, well, that was your intention, right? Be careful what you wish for. And I was like, oh, okay.
Sometimes you wish for things, but you don't, like, you're not mentally. You're like, did I? Oh, damn, I did wish for that, didn't I? It hits people very, very differently. I've done some ayahuasca as well, and it's amazing how different it impacts people differently.
Some people are also more visual and it's gonna have more visualizations. I'm not, like, I'm more like feel things. I get more things happens in my body. I don't see that many colors, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all different, so it's good to come in with no expectations.
I know.
And I would say later on, I came back to it on my healing journey, and then I was really like, oh, my throat. I was more aware of the chakras and how past experiences has like affected my different chakras. And I was very much into healing my throat chakra. Because I was like, someone told me when I was a child that I couldn't be Lucia because I couldn't sing or something like that. And I stopped singing, and it was so sad. I was in the choir and everything. I was so excited. And all of a sudden, it just like, nope, not going to say anything. So,
oh, that breaks my heart a little bit. It's like, it's so horrible how like one person can, or we allow like one person to have that power over us when it's
it's terrible.
Yeah.
So sad when I go back to my little self and just like, you're okay. Yeah, but that came back in a ceremony. All of a sudden, it was like a very traditional ceremony with a Brazilian shaman. And it was like the most epic music. It was drummers. It was guitar. People were dancing and singing. And all of a sudden, my voice just came like from the root of my body and up. And I could sing these songs. It's like, wait, who is singing? It's like, wait, it's me. I have this voice. And then that was life changing. I was like, wow. So that's also when I realized we are our own shamans. Like, we are our own medicine woman, men. We have everything that we need inside of our bodies, but we need help sometimes to remember, to take out those gifts, or like to awaken those, what we have. I think everyone has a voice, but it's like, it's more or less practiced. And sometimes when I don't sing for a couple of weeks or months, I don't have a voice anymore. And then I have to like do the practice again. And then it comes out, and it's like unstable, but it's also like being friends with that. It doesn't always have to sound beautiful or perfect. Like, who decides that?
Exactly. Who decides
that? Some shamans just sing and it's not a pretty voice, but it's like the most amazing thing you've ever heard. And that's also like,
it's the feeling that's like, if somebody sings from the heart, it's you know,
feel it.
Yeah, you feel it. I am a singer, and like that's part of what I do. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, when you haven't sang for, if I haven't sung at all for a couple of months, like it's like any muscle in the body, if you don't train it, it's like, it sounds can sound really bad when if I haven't sung, and I've, you know, studied it, you know. So it's I'm so happy to hear that you found your voice and you have it back, and like the joy of singing, because
it's so much fun.
It is.
And then I also realized, like, oh, my happiest childhood memories, they were around a fire, like either in the scouts or when I did my confirmation. Is that what it's called in English?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, when you're like 14 and you go to church, and I believed in something, but my family is not religious at all. And they're like, why are you going to do this? But I felt this community of like sitting around the fire, singing these songs. I've never been that happy. Mm. And now when I found that again, I think that's why in my first cacao ceremony, that was again coming back to the element of fire, sitting in community and singing. And it just like made my inner child so happy. And that's when I was like, okay, I found home. This is what I want to do. I want to sing. I want to sit around a fire and share and just like sing all of these songs. It was so beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Very profound.
Yes. Speaking of music, you do sound healing as well.
Yes.
And that is something that very much that I find, I do a lot of breath work, but I haven't done much sound healing. So could you talk a little bit about sound healing and what types of what do you do, like when if you're at a ceremony and like what happens?
Well, I normally start with my drum, and I feel like the drum is kind of like the heartbeat. So just by like starting the drum, it comes back to this like primal energy. So I really love the drum. That's my favorite instrument right now. And I also doing a lot of sound healing trainings. What I realize is like the voice is the most powerful instrument. Even if someone maybe did not have the most beautiful voice, when they started singing, that's when I got like the shivers. So I'm like getting more comfortable in using my own voice and singing like through the ceremony. In the beginning, I just started by singing one song in the end at the, like when everyone was laying down with closed eyes, then I started singing because I was like, oh, I feel safe now. But now I'm like incorporating that into everything I do. And then I have a crystal bowl, which is like tuned into each chakra. So depending on which one I play, which is also really interesting, because if you come and maybe you don't even know that you have a blocked throat chakra, when I play the throat chakra bowl, people start coughing, for example.
Wow.
And that's like, yeah, if you have blockage, one of the bowls might feel like, oh, this is so uncomfortable, can she just stop playing it? And it's normally because you have some work to do around that chakra. I do have a gong as well. I haven't played it in 1 year. I just kind of lost it, but I feel the calling to come back to it. I think I'm just going to take it up from the basement and start playing it again. But in a way, I've been like really healing my feminine side, because I've been living so much in the masculine and just being this human doing for all of my life, and just like constantly being on the go, doing things and feeling really good when I accomplish something and like taking it off my to-do list.
Yeah.
And I feel the gong, in a way, to me has been very masculine and hard. So I just disconnected from it, and I tuned into more the angelic sounds, like the chimes and I don't even know the word, all the words in English, but more the like higher chakra sounds that's more angelic.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing the last year, but I'm feeling ready to go back to the more like heavy sounds as well. So it's different with whatever ceremony I'm doing. Maybe it's around the sacral chakra, and then I do more instruments around like that are more in the water element, for example. Maybe it's just like pouring a glass of water, or maybe it's the ocean drum. That's like this drum that has small little like balls in them, and you move it around like this and it sounds like waves of the ocean. And yeah, so it's very different. If we're outside around the fire, I feel like the drum is the perfect instrument.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everything is music in a sense. It was raining.
Yeah, it's all vibration. Weather.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And it's just like, I just love listening to rain drumming against the window pane, like at night or something.
But, it's so relaxing.
Yeah. So yeah. Hi, welcome back. We got cut off a little bit. Sorry about that. But you have a little cute dog.
Yes.
Like, what's his or her name?
Elda, which means to make a fire in Swedish.
Yeah. Oh, she's so cute. Hi.
Hi. He's like, oh, you're recording. Can I join?
Yeah. Yeah. Make me famous. Yeah. it's really, really sweet. But so we were talking about sound healing, which sounds really lovely and quite magical. It's like you said, everything is vibration, and you can feel it in your bodies and stuff. And another thing that you said that you do also a lot of is breath work. I absolutely love breath work. I've done a lot of it. So what is it like? What type of breath work do you use, and have you tried like all of them?
I don't know if I've tried all of them. I've tried a lot of different things or a lot of different kinds of breath works. And this one that I teach and also do myself every day is called transformational breath work. But it also goes under the name of psychedelic breathwork, shamanic breathwork, rebirthing breathwork, I think it's the same. So it's like a three-part breath where you do it through the mouth, into the belly, then up to the chest, and then exhale. Is that the one that you do as well?
Well, I've tried that one.
Yeah.
and holotropic breath work as well. Mm. But I find that I absolutely love breath work but when it's more dynamic, like that kind of breath work, it does really dig deep into your, like you can actually almost have, like you said, like a psychedelic experience.
It's really magical.
Yeah. But my hands tend to like cramp up.
And yeah, it's called tetany.
Yeah, and it freaks me out.
Yeah.
Like I get really scared. Like I think that, I'm just stuck like this forever now, like Edward Scissorhand or something. But obviously it's not. Or do you, what happens when that happens? Do you have an explanation?
I mean, different teachers says different things. I like the spiritual explanation that is like, what are you holding on to that you now have the opportunity to let go of? Yeah. I like that. But it can also have to do with your magnesium level in the body. So maybe if it's low, people with low magnesium in the body tend to get this more often. And it also has to do with the carbon dioxide level in the body. So I'm not the most scientific teacher. When I teach, I'm more about like how it feels in the body. And there's so many better teachers to explain exactly the physical things that are going on a deeper level. But yeah, that's basically, it's called tetany, and it's the carbon dioxide, magnesium level, and like holding on to old stuff that now should be released, or not should, but could. So the first time I did breathwork, this kind of breathwork, was a Burning Man, which is this huge gathering in the Nevada desert. For those of you who haven't been there, you should go. But I did breath work, and it was like hundreds of people laying out in the desert, and no one told me that this would happen, or maybe I missed the information. And I was like, wait, what is going on? I freaked out. But then I saw other people were doing similar things with their hands. I was like, I guess this is a part of the journey. And I normally share, like, before I go through everything very much in detail. And I was like, you're not going to drive away from here. You're not going to walk away from here like this today. So just like, see if you can let go and just like, let that be a part. Like, it should never be painful, but it can be really uncomfortable. And just like, can you sit or lay with that discomfort? Like, just notice what comes up when you're not in control of your own body. That can be very healing.
Yeah. Too. That's true. But it's like you say, if you don't know it and it happens
then it's freaky. But also, what did I want to share about that? We'll come back to it.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. So by breathing like with this technique, it's actually we're shutting off the frontal lobe of the brain, which is the ego mind and the monkey mind. And it's like one of the most healing. That's why I got hooked on breathwork, because my monkey mind is never quiet. Like, it always goes. It's nonstop. And I think most people can resonate with that. And doing this kind of breath work is just like, it became quiet. It became like bright white. And yeah. I was like, it was so nice. And that way you can rewire your brain. You can rewire your monkey mind. You're in this like really peaceful state where you can, for example, say like, I love myself. I love my body. I'm at peace, or I'm balanced. I'm calm, whatever it is. And after doing breath work a couple of times, maybe it doesn't happen in one session, but if you do it a couple of times a week, that's going to be your new reality. And it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And what I love about breath work is that you always have access to your breath. You don't have to go to anyone else and pay a bunch of money. Like, you, it's nice to join breath work in a group, because you get the group energy and you get pushed outside of your comfort zone, which maybe it's hard when you're by yourself in your bed. But you always have access to your breath. And that's what I love.
I like that too, absolutely. And I think it can scare some people, like, to do it by themselves. It even scares me, and I've done a lot because things come up. But then again, when you're at a ceremony or doing whatever it is, if it's ayahuasca or anything, it's like you know they're there, but you're so in your own experience that you're sort of alone in it anyway.
You're alone anyway. Yeah. But it's always nice to have someone's hands and to feel like you're in a safe place. Yeah. So I would recommend, if you do feel like you're scared, you don't have to push yourself to do it at home. Go to breathwork classes until you feel safe in your own body. And I always do the affirmation, like, my body's a safe place to be. My body's a safe place to be. And I just tell people to repeat that to themselves if they're going through
something. That's beautiful. Hard.
Yeah. And just knowing that, like, whatever happens is supposed to happen right now, because it's a part of the process for me to heal. So, like, can I be in this discomfort, not knowing what's going to happen, just trusting that it's for my highest good, you know? And that's hard.
It is sometimes. Hard. Yeah. Yeah. Cause when it's discomfort,
but healing is hard. Like, healing is blissful. Like, oh my God, everything is light and love. No, it's dark. You have to, like, go down, dig down to your roots. And the more you dig, the more shit comes up.
But it's like, I know, it's such a pain in the ass sometimes.
But so I'm not.
It's so worth it.
So worth it. And I never regret that I went down this road, because it's so rewarding as well. And I don't want to live a life where I'm just like half asleep or asleep and like not aware of everything that's going on in my body and outside of my body. So rather be awake and
absolutely. No, yeah. I agree with you completely. It's like you said earlier, when you started getting panic attacks and that sort of thing, like, when when for those who have had panic attacks and just this huge anxiety, I mean, that's something that's almost unbearable, like to go through, because like you said, you thought you were going to die, and a lot of people feel that way, and it's just the discomfort is so extreme that it's like, well, healing, yeah, it is uncomfortable, but you're going through that as well. So it's kind of, you know, that is such a huge wake up call. It really is. But
I love this expression, like, you need to feel it to heal it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's so true. Like, you need to sit with it. And sometimes that takes a year to heal certain things, or maybe it takes a whole lifetime to heal certain deeper things. But if we don't feel it, we can't heal it. We can't just, you know, there's not just like drink one cup of cacao or drink one cup of ayahuasca and your life is going to be great. No, a lot of people come to me and like, should I do plant medicines? And I was like, I don't want to recommend anyone to do it. I think you will feel when your time is, and just know that doors are going to open and they can't be closed again, most likely. So you need to be prepared to do the work. Yeah. And maybe that means cutting off certain people out of your life, or certain habits, or certain partners, whatever it is. Maybe you need to move to a different place. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but stuff is going to come up. But it is for your highest good, but it might take years.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to want a quick fix, including myself, like, you know, it's just, you know, but then it's just like you said, it's like opening up the doors and they can't be shut again. It's like, okay, no. We're going to clean this room now.
Yep.
Let's get your hands dirty.
Get to work.
But it is so nice once it's done. And obviously, like you said, things could come up throughout our entire lives, you know, probably. And I was going to ask, because you have your ceremonies and so do you do like in one setting, is it cacao, breath work and sound healing all in one session, or?
Yes. Yeah. So this is really funny, because when I was searching a lot in LA, and like one training came up after the other, I didn't have a plan. It was just like, things just came my way and I was like, yeah, this feels right. And then I had one friend who I didn't have, it was really hard to get to know people in LA, especially in the beginning. So I like hung out with this woman and I was like, I was not 100% feeling her energy, but we were into the same things. We just like hung out. We got something from each other. But she told me, she's like, Nina, you need to focus. You can't like jump on to everything that you see. And I was like, oh, wait, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
And but she's like, then you're never going to get like really good at something. And then, yeah, maybe that's true. Maybe I'm not going to be the most like epic sound healer out there that knows all the instruments perfectly and whatever. I go on feeling, but I am also a manifesting generator. And from what I've learned is that you in human design is that we need to have a lot of things going on all the time. Otherwise we get bored. And that I can resonate to that. So yes, in my ceremonies, there's a lot of elements. And it's all like my medicine cabinet that I like to share. So we normally start with maybe some shaking, that it's one of the perfect best ways for me to get out of my monkey mind and get into the body and release like stuck tension. Maybe you were driving there, or maybe your neck is sore from sitting in front of a desk. And then I explain more about the cacao, like the whole process, all of the benefits. And then normally we do a meditation with the cacao, because I love to. Cacao is a plant spirit and it's a plant medicine. So it's really beautiful to share that, like, this is not chocolate or like anything that you just drink and then you put your cup away, like you do with a cup of coffee sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is a spirit. So let's introduce ourselves to the spirit. Let's whisper our intention. Maybe you whisper something you want guidance with or help, just to have like a connection with what we're going to put inside of our bodies. Because there's so many times we just eat and drink, including myself, just like on the go. Yeah. Not like, oh, how does that feel? How does it make me feel? Like, what am I putting in my body? Am I grateful for what I'm putting in my body? Like, so it's really nice to just take a moment and connect with what we're going to put in the body and follow like every sip and just feel like, what awakens? Do I see something? Do I hear something? Do I feel something? Because I feel it's all messages from the cacao. Or whatever it is we're drinking, if we're drinking peppermint, like, what does the peppermint spirit wants to show you? Like, you can do this with everything.
Yeah.
And then after that, normally I do some sharing. So everyone can like hear their name and maybe share their intention, because a lot of us have blockage in the throat chakra. And some people are super uncomfortable with sharing in a big circle, but that's also, I feel that's how we grow. Including myself, I hated to share in circles and I just wanted to get out. But it's also, I noticed when I started to sharing from my heart, people were always coming up to me afterwards and like, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm also suffering from hormonal problems, or, oh, thank you for sharing this about your like family or whatever. Like, and that's when I realized like it's in the sharing from our heart space that we connect with other people. If I just sit there quiet and just like say one word, I'm probably not going to have a deep connection with anyone because I'm not letting anyone in. So being vulnerable and sharing from the heart is something I encourage. And I feel cacao really helps with that. And then we do maybe some dancing, maybe some eye gazing. It depends on what the setting is, how open people are already, like how deep can we go. And what else do we do? Yeah, and then we lay down for the breath work. And then it's in the end, it's normally a sound healing. And I sing, and then maybe we sit up and we have a sharing again. So this is as a general, I always flow and see, maybe we're outside and I bring in the elements of the fire maybe. And yeah, it can be very different, but it's normally like a 2 or 3 hour experience. Mm. And it's really, really, really magical. So you should join. Where in Sweden are you? You should come here.
Ulricehamn. It's close to Borås.
Oh yeah, so you're not too far away actually. Yeah.
No, I definitely want to come. Yeah. Like, I it just sounds I'm just thinking like, oh, I could call that friend or that friend. And yeah, definitely I'm definitely coming at some point for sure. Yay. Yeah.
Do also a lot of retreats here this summer where I incorporate all of the elements of like the spirits that live around here, like all of the herbs that are native to Sweden. So I love cacao, but I'm also a huge fan of just incorporating with what's native around us. So I'm really passionate about that. So yeah, I do a lot of ceremonies here, a lot of retreats with breathwork, sound healing, cacao, herbs, nature, connection time, and all the things.
That sounds really, really magical. And you can also, I saw on your website that you can choose to stay at your place, like you can rent beautiful tents and a little cottage and stuff like that.
Yeah, so this is really beautiful how this happened. So I was living in LA, and then with the pandemic, they didn't prolong my contract, the Swedish company. And I was like, wait, should I go back to Sweden and do the same thing I did like 5 years ago? No, I don't think so. And I was like, this is universe way of pushing me to do what I want to do fully.
Yeah.
But I was too, I guess I was scared, but I was also like comfortable. I was like, I have my house in Venice. I have all the things. Why would I leave now? But my heart was just screaming to me, like, get out in nature, get out in nature. So I decided to take a leave of absence, to take like a leap year or whatever it's called. And I was like, where am I going to go? I went back to Sweden just to like take care of my apartment that was in Stockholm. And I rented it out for many years. And I was just sitting there and like, wait, I'm never going to want to live in this. I love this apartment, but I have anxiety just being in Stockholm and around so many people. And even if LA is a big city, you're kind of lonely because you're always in your car or live, you know. Yeah. So like just being in a big city, living with neighbors in an apartment, I was just like, no, I can't do this. So I put it out on the market. And the same week, this house that I live in now came to me. My friend sent me a link. She's like, this is my ex-husband's house. You should go see it. And I looked on Google Maps and it was like 6 hours from Stockholm. Like, no one is going to come to visit me. And I don't know anyone down here. She's like, just go. So I did. I rented a car and I drove down here. And as soon as I drove into this little like small street surrounded by forest, I was like, I don't care if anyone comes here, like this is my thing. I'm gonna move here. So I got the house, and then I already had plans to move to Costa Rica to live on a permaculture farm for my year off. So I just moved in here 1 year ago, and my dream has always been, because I've been traveling so much, staying in all of these places and retreats, and I was like, I just want to ground myself, put my roots down. But I still want the ceremonies. I still want the magic. So I was like, wait, why don't I start my own place? And people will come to me and have ceremonies, and I can co-create with all these magical people. Yeah. So yeah, I put up some glamping tents, really magical tents. I have a guest house. I have a healing barn that has a loft where you can stay as well. So in the summer, you can be 14 people here. In the winter, I take down the tents, so then we can fit like 10 people. So it's a magical place, and it's surrounded, it's just close to a lake. I live on an old apple farm, so it has so many apple trees that right now are blooming. Oh. And in the autumn, you can just come and pick as many apples as you wish. It's really like a dream come true. It's like, I love to call myself the queen of manifestation, because it's just like, I think something, I do it, and it just like, it happens. So now all of a sudden, I'm like, from fashion to farmer, I'm sitting here. Yeah. How do I grow things? What do I do with all of these things? So I'm learning every day, and I'm studying as well to just learn, like, what can I do with what's here? So I don't have a clear, super clear plan what's going to happen here, but it's unfolding every day. And it's just so fun to live in nature and just see and follow the nature and its cycles, because I always promote living according to your cycle, but to actually live in nature and see it, it's like, it's so inspiring. And like last year, I was so much in the doing of getting this place up and running, and I was like, oh, look at these flowers, tomorrow I'm gonna pick them and make a lilac water, or I'm gonna make whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the day after, they were gone, and I was like, wait, I have to be present every day. Yeah. Because nothing is forever. It's going to, like, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You have to like take the opportunity every day to just appreciate what is around you. And then also in the autumn, seeing everything going down to rest. And it's like, how do we expect as humans to always bloom, always be on top of our things and always be happy and outgoing and social and always host retreats and ceremonies or doing a podcast, whatever. Like, no, like nature rests, and she really rests, and she still gets shit done. Like, she does her thing, and she doesn't apologize, and it's just like she's there and, you know, in full bloom, and then she goes to rest. And just seeing the flowers also going inwards at night when it gets cold, like the dandelions, for example, love to harvest and do body oils and drink and whatever. Yesterday I was going to pick them to make an oil, and they had gone inwards because it was a little bit chilly.
I love that you say that, because I was thinking that that exact thing. Mm. I was walking from work the other day, and because I was thinking about the dandelions, thinking I want to pick some and I want to make something when I was walking to work, and they were all blooming everywhere. And then when I walked home at night, they had all gone, you know, like really like, no, we're going to sleep now. And I was like, do that. That's really cool.
It's so cool. Like nature, we are nature, and like we have been so disconnected from nature, and it's so sad, but it's no, I don't want to see it that way. I want to see it that I'm so grateful that I now get to be a part of it and like really come back home in a way, to just walk barefoot on the earth. And like I sit a lot in front of the computer as well, even more than I want to. And then my neck gets sore and whatever. I just go out and lay on the earth for 5 minutes, and like my cramps just like goes away. And it's like the most healing anti-inflammatory thing you can do. And it like reboots your nervous system. Like the earth is the answer. Like the nature is the medicine. I always
It's true. We do need to connect more with Mother Nature for sure. It's, I think we're getting there, and I'm so happy that people like you are taking charge and being a light and being a guide for that, because it's so needed right now. It's so a lot of people I think are lost, and they know we need that, but they don't know where to start or where to go. So thank you for being that light on the earth.
It's my honor. And now I feel like, I think maybe that's also part of the plant medicines and the cacao, but it's like I can't do anything else. Like this is what I have to do, and sometimes it's super uncomfortable, and but I just don't see a way back. Like this is what I have to do. I have to be a teacher now, and also a student all the time. I'm both, but it's just, I'm so happy I found this path and that I had the courage to step into it, because it was really uncomfortable for me in the beginning to hold space and to share my voice and to be like, get out of this Swedish mindset. Like, who am I to share? Because I'm not fully learned, or like, I don't have all the knowledge, but it's like, no, start where you are.
Jantelagen.
I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, I know, me too.
So living in LA was great for me, because people are experts in taking up space and they can talk about something that's not even interesting for like hours. All this fluff, and like, it's unapologetic, like take up space. And I really look up to that, like just sitting there and like taking up space, knowing that you're worthy of it. And And the people who want to listen will listen. The other people are not your people. They're not there yet. And then that's how I feel too, like sharing on Instagram, like selling things. It's really out of my comfort zone, or used to be anyway. But then I'm like, wait, if people don't want to see it, they can just unfollow.
Exactly.
The people who want to see, they appreciate me sharing, you know? So it's really just like switching mindset.
Yeah. So where can people find you? Like, what's your website?
So my website, also Speaking of. Generated, yeah. I have so many different websites. You will find me and my retreats and ceremonies and my place here on ninamedicina.com. Mm. And also on Instagram, I'm Nina Medicina. And then I'm moving the cacao from Nina Medicina, where I've been selling it, because I started a business with my best friend that is called Wild Cacao Collective. Nice. So you find us on wildcacaocollective.com. So we have this pure 100% cacao, but also soon adaptogenic blend. So you will get it in a crushed form where it's already blended with all of our favorite spices and superfoods.
Oh, nice.
For people who get overwhelmed and like, I don't know what all of this is, but I still want sexual and creative energy. Well, you just get the passion blend and you're all good. Set to go. Yeah. So that's my, that's where you will find me, Wild Cacao Collective and Nina Medicina.
Okay, that's really good. When I was in your checking out your websites the other day, I was like, it just looks so nice. I almost like, oh, can I just move in?
You know, yes.
It's so natural and beautiful. And yeah, I will definitely come for a visit and do.
And I want to learn more about you as well and your story.
Yeah.
And together.
That would be so nice.
Yeah.
So, but I'm not going to steal more of your time today, but thank you so much for joining me for this very beautiful, magical interview. I'm so happy to get to know you and your story. It was so very nice. Thank you.
Thank you for listening and for letting me take up space in your podcast.
Yeah.
You me are and welcome. Elda are really grateful.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk soon.
Yes.
And thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you so much.
Hejdå.